Hello, 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 and welcome to Divorce TV Show. You may hear some strange, weird little background sounds. My system's doing peculiar things, and some of my guests, if they move too much, we'll be able to hear them, even though I've muted them. So just, it's not me, just so you know. We're going to move on to the news, but first, just to let you know, we've got our expert interview is with Michael from Families Need Fathers. He's got some great things, not just for the dads, I have to say. So tune into that because he's absolutely up to date with all kinds of things that are happening in family law and things that need to be changed as well. We also have our shared story with Ruth Driscoll and our healing with Susan Cowmiller. They were both fantastic last night on our divorce financial workshop. So, swiftly, we shall now move on with the latest news. Our first story is from Reuters. Ken Curzon, who's a friend of Mr. Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, charged with cyberstalking during a divorce, was pardoned. So New York Reuters has said that Ken Curzon, a family friend of Donald Trump and editor of a New York newspaper once owned by the former US president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, was among those pardoned by Trump in his final hours in office. US prosecutors in Brooklyn had in October charged Curzon with cyberstalking related to his 2015 divorce, saying he sent threatening messages to victims, including someone he blamed for the breakdown of his marriage. Curzon, a political consultant and former speechwriter for Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, served as editor-in-chief of the Kushner-owned newspaper, The Observer, from 2013 until he stepped down in 2017. The Observer endorsed Trump in the 2016 US presidential election. Prosecutors began investigating Curzon in 2018 following a background check reportedly related to Trump's nomination of him to the board of the National Endowment for the Humanities. In announcing the pardon, the White House said the probe began only because of the nomination and that Curzon's former wife had expressed disgust with his arrest. It seemed odd that they'd arrest someone for stalking someone who didn't seem to mind, but it's, you know, cyberstalking is something that does happen to people. If you've had that kind of thing happen, do share it. Share it in the messages. It's a very disorientating and unpleasant thing to happen, but obviously not such a problem if you have connections in high places. Let's move on now to The Mirror. Now, The Mirror is talking about Adele's life after divorce, weight loss, happiness and parting with A-list pals. Well, wouldn't that be great if it was the same for all of us? Nearly 2 years after her split, Adele Atkins and her estranged husband, Simon Konecki, are now close to reaching a divorce settlement. People magazine reported that the singer filed a judgment package with the court in Los Angeles on January the 15th, after she and Simon, 46, used mediation to carve up their properties and fortune. She always said she was going to do it in a sensible way. But while the paperwork is only now nearing completion, Adele has transformed her life since first confirming the split in April 2019. The 32-year-old is now happy, healthy and, when the pandemic allows, enjoying a new life partying with A-list pals. With her split from her husband of 7 years behind her, the Londoner is happily settled across the Atlantic in Los Angeles, where she lives with 8-year-old son Angelo. For her fans, surely the most noticeable change about their idol has been her striking physical transformation. After overhauling her diet and exercise regime following the split, Adele is estimated to have lost a whopping 7 stone. Some of you may also have found your weight changed. Quite often it's just because you're really unhappy and it's all very traumatic, and that can be known as the divorce diet. But it's much better when it's your deliberate attempt to be healthier. So if you've made those sort of changes, do share it in the comments or wherever it is you're watching this. Along with dropping the pounds, Adele has also got into shape with reports Rolling in the Deep singer has been enjoying reformer Pilates sessions with her friend Ida Field, wife of Robbie Williams. I like this. She says, "I know I look really, really different since you last saw me," she said, as she took to the stage hosting Saturday Night Live in October. "But actually, because of all the COVID restrictions, I had to travel light. and I could only bring half of me, she joked. And this is the half I chose. Well done, anyway, for using mediation. That's definitely the cool celebrity divorce. And last but not least, Screen Rant is talking about why Vicky Gunvalson blames Bravo for her divorce. Right, here's a message for you all if you're thinking about going on a reality TV show. So this past season has not been the same, apparently, without Gunvalson or Tamra Judge. But Gunvalson finally decided to speak out on Behind the Velvet Rope podcast with David Yonta to express her true feelings on all things Housewives. During her segment, she revealed that she would be happily married and saying, "I wouldn't have been divorced." The blonde was married in 1994, the report says, but her 20-year marriage came to an end in 2014. As a 58-year-old, she said, "I did everything right except falling prey to divorce. I mean, I think that hindsight, I know for a fact that if I wasn't on a reality show, I wouldn't have been divorced." The mother of two also reveals that the divorce cost Don and I both a lot of money because we had to split assets and alimony and all that stuff. So I paid him to more than he did to me because I had the business. So that hurt. That's hurtful and that's hard, she said. So I guess the message is don't go and be on a reality show and you're apparently less likely to get divorced. So we're moving forward now to something far more sensible and we're going to talk to Michael. So I'm now going to bring in Michael to chat to us. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Susie. Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you. And thank you for coming along. So, because you've been very busy in various court cases that we're not allowed to talk about today, but hopefully you will come back when we can. So what are we able to talk about today? Because you've got your finger, you're with the National Charity Families Need Fathers. You don't just have... volunteers hosting groups all around the UK, supporting dads and mums in some cases, isn't it too? But you do a lot of lobbying. You're trying to change the system, aren't you?
We are. We're trying to change the system to make it. Actually, you talked today. A lot of your examples were about mediation and about how good it is to get out of the court arena and to keep things out of court and ultimately what you say all the time, and I can see it right behind you there, about making peace your weapon of choice. And actually that is really what is needed for the family and especially for the children. And what we see is a system which is designed not to do that, to promote an adversarial battleground where the children often get caught up. And that's the case whether you're talking about the divorce system, the family justice system, the way that family courts operate, or whether you're talking about Department of Work and Pensions and how they support each parent. Actually, each of them kind of creates a battleground arena. And quite often you have kind of these perverse battles where sometimes financial tensions and difficulties might be actually the real reason why somebody starts blaming their parent for their inadequacy as a parent, these sort of pseudo battles which then ensue in the wrong arena, really. So we're trying to, where we're campaigning and lobbying, we're trying to campaign for a system which is actually going to make it far easier for people to seek settlements and agreements without depending on the courts and the family justice system.
Because they're just not, even if they worked beautifully and they all talk to each other, it's still never going to be better than two people having a mediated or collaborative law or just some form of a conversation to sort things out, isn't it? I'm going to move on to a slide here because it's interesting to see, have a bit of a reality check, isn't it? So you're going to give us a reality check with this one.
Yes, I mean, this is kind of, if you don't come to an agreement through mediation or some kind of out-of-court arrangement, then what will typically happen is if a parent is kind of, particularly if all arrangements for their children have stopped, they might feel they have no choice but to make an application to court. So what will typically happen is they'll try and come to some arrangement and agreement, and there'll be maybe weeks or months of discussions that people will have amongst themselves. And then if things really don't get anywhere and they don't get any help, they'll make an application. Now, these days, the courts do encourage people to try and seek out of court arrangements, and they do say, look, you should take you should do mediation before you actually file your application. Now, that's often disregarded, or if there's any allegations made by either party against each other, then mediation starts to go out of the window. So depending on the situation, it could be weeks or months that there's no arraignment for the children before an application is filed. And that having sort of filled in your 20 pages of forms of the C100 application, given your 100 £215 to the court to make the application, that's assuming you're not using a lawyer. If you're using a lawyer, good luck, it'll be £1,000 just to get to that stage before you've got anywhere, before you've even sniffed a courtroom. And so by the time that gets lodged and so on, then the whole process starts from that point onwards. And so your application gets accepted, copies get sent to your ex-partner, to the court, to an organization called CAFCAS, Children, Family, why have I gone funny on it? Children, Family Court Support Service. I'm sure I've missed a word there. They will do safeguarding checks on both sides before they do anything. A hearing will be arranged, an initial hearing. At that hearing, no real business will be transacted. They will try to establish whether you've come to any arrangement at all, and they will then arrange another hearing. And that hearing might be a directions hearing to work out what the next hearing after that should be. And that even pre-COVID days, the average duration from application in a court proceeding to a court making a final order at the judgment can be 20, is currently 20, well, pre-COVID was 29 weeks, and post-COVID it's going up because all those more substantive hearings where they want to hear from everybody have all been put off and delayed because the courts are operating online. Many of them are not functioning at the normal way. The CAFCAS, Children Family Court Advisory Service, family court advisors are unable to visit people in their normal way. So everything is getting clogged up even further. And at each stage, if you're on your own, then you're on your own. Extremely stressful, really difficult for everybody involved. And if you're not on your own, then you have all of the above, maybe made a little bit easier by having a solicitor helping you or a barrister to represent you. But you're really now beginning to notch up thousands of pounds by this time. And by the time you've had three, four, five, six hearings, well, on average, you're going to be spending £25,000. And many people have spent 50, 100. And most especially, and I think my little slide you'll remember showed an arrow going to the right, that as you're going, as time goes on, the battlefield gets greater. The number of issues, everybody gets upset. And as everybody gets upset, they start to, in this adversarial world, chuck more bricks at each other and bats and
So
things.
what could
Everybody gets
be
caught.
it? Because that diagram shows you like that's just kind of getting started. So when you really start getting into the battles, he said, she said, and you can have as many barristers as you want. At the end of the day, you know, often they're talk, people are talking about things that's not even it's not easy to even prove. And on a, what would be a reasonable amount of time that if you got your Is it reasonable to assume that that first hearing isn't going to resolve everything just because CAFCAS will give their bit and it'll all be a done and dusted?
Well, CAFCAS will only turn up if you're lucky, they'll turn up at that first hearing. Nothing will be resolved other than by consent at that first hearing. This is, so basically, there will be usually a half an hour hearing. A judge will be there, and there'll be various representatives. If you, either you'll be on your own, or you'll have your representatives there, and they'll try and establish whether there's anything at all that the parties can agree, you know, up to 5 minutes before they enter the courtroom and even beyond. So, is there anything permanently or even interim? Is there anything that might be agreed for the next weeks or months? And if there is, then they will file what's called a consent order. It may not be the final arrangement, but it will be okay, we've got something now for the interim. And what are the issues between you that still need to be resolved? Can we agree that now? Or more likely, they might set another hearing to try to work out exactly what the issues are. So at that point, they might ask each party to file statements for the court. So you'll then be writing a 5, 10, 20, 50 page statement, depending on what the issues are that need addressing. If you're using a lawyer, again, they'll be working with you and they will be charging you by the hour, £250, £300, £400 an hour for helping you with those statements.
And you're able to help with families with RP fathers, you're able to help people who go, I don't want to spend that much money with a, you know, it doesn't mean they don't want any legal advice, but they don't want, they need to do the bulk of the work themselves. Can you hear me okay now? Am I back now for you? Yep. So what do you say for a lot of people who, even though they might want some legal guidance, they don't want to give the solicitors the donkey work and be paying for it, they'd rather do it themselves. By being a paid member of Families Need Fathers, you get access to loads of resources, don't you, and support. So a lot of people do it DIY through you.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information, a lot of support. You can attend meetings and try and hear from others. A lot of this is, to be fair, peer support. So you're talking to others who maybe are ahead of you and finding out from them what they needed to do and what they shouldn't do and stop you making mistakes. I mean, it's not foolproof, but even going to lawyers is not foolproof and tends to often escalate the dispute. You know, we don't have unlimited resources, but we do have some way of providing assistance. Some of our meetings have lawyers who will come and provide some pro bono guidance. They're not going to write your statement for you, but what they will do is perhaps give you some guidance about what really should be in it, what shouldn't be in it, how you position yourself, what should you be asking for, what's reasonable, how should you put it, how do you make sure that the children come out in those things best.
And I'm a member of Families Need Fathers, as plenty of mums are as well, and just because I think it's a very important charity. How much is full membership?
Membership, the first time you join, is £39, and it's £35 for a year, that is, and then it's £35 to renew. And we've actually long ago set up a scheme which is a £4 a month scheme.
Brilliant. And people can get that through. So there's the QR code, and anyone joining the Best Way to Divorce app, in the free welcome pack, you will find a link to Families Need Fathers. So I really do recommend it as an organisation. But we've got another slide here, because you're campaigning and working towards a better world, apart from supporting people in what is largely a dysfunctional system at the moment. So I'm going to take you to that. You can give us, we can go out on a hopeful note, dreaming of a better world. What do you want to create here?
Well, what we're trying to get is more education up front before people even get anywhere near courtrooms. So we want to, you know, currently in the court system, you might be 6 months into the system and they may decide that the parents will benefit from parenting education, this thing called a SPIP, which is a parenting program, separated parenting information program. And actually we think that what should happen is that people should be going on such education programs right up front before they even get anywhere near a courtroom. And actually, even sometimes before they get near a mediator would be a good idea. So actually, you then kind of get to understand what are the issues, the difficulties, not least for the children that often get caught up in the middle, and how best to try to resolve things. The sort of things that you do, Susie, really, try to get as much information and learning before you get anywhere near. And if you can't come to an agreement, well, we would like to see a system of very early intervention where when you make your application to court, rather than wait 12 weeks for a hearing before anything gets decided, during that 12 weeks, that they would actually make everybody go on a parenting information program, so you learn about it. Then they would promote and encourage you anyway to go on mediation. And if through those two things you can come to some agreement, then actually the hearing that was fixed for 12 weeks down the line could be vacated, cancelled. That's it. You don't need to go anymore. You've got an agreement. The court can stamp it for you and say that all is hunky-dory and works. And in 3 months, you've got a position where the children haven't spent 6 months, 12 months, a year, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 years waiting for a resolution between their parents. And we've got a sort of ideas about how that could work. For example, if there are more serious issues like domestic abuse, where there might be a much earlier intervention than currently. You typically now, if there's something more serious going on, or at least an allegation of it, it might take 6 months to get a hearing to actually work out who's telling the truth. And that's a very, very long time. It's just not child appropriate. So we really want early intervention and much, much more education up front, you know, people to learn a little bit more about, you know, sometimes we have to manage our emotions because we may be feeling hurt, upset, maybe justifiably betrayed or whatever the issues are. And those are natural feelings, but you have to also work out how to make things right for the children and actually ultimately for yourselves as well, because, you know, making peace your weapon of choice is the right way if you actually want to move forward for and move beyond the difficulties of that now no longer happy family arrangement.
And when you watch the show in full later, later on we're going to have Ruth Driscoll doing a shared story, and she's actually talking about a teenager, and she's coming across. She works with people who would covert coercive and controlling relationships, and obviously sometimes there's also parental alienation, which I know is a huge problem. Which like there's a whole other subject that'd be great to get you back on to talk about. So have a look at that, and you know, having a kind of hit squad right at the beginning, focused on the parenting education, how to get people to accept that. Because I remember as a parent thinking, oh, I'm fine, I know what I'm doing. How stupid was I? But I know how it is to feel like that. And it shouldn't be that you wait till a judge tells you to go to a parenting program. It should just be part of our culture. So I would love to give ways, at least people to have taster sessions of that, to lose their fear, because obviously then they do need to pay something. But I know that you, Families Need Fathers, you have groups that sometimes run these things. So let's talk about getting some of those promoted through My Welcome Pack in the app and see if we can make changes for here. And I know in some places in the States, they already have some of that in place. So that's some homework for us both. And I look forward to having you back very soon to talk about all the things that we're not allowed to talk about at the moment that are happening in court.
Okay. Thank you very much. I look forward to it. Okay, you too.
Bye for now. It's a great charity, and you should definitely join it to support it. It's got forums, it's got lots of different forms. So if you're doing any form of a DIY divorce, where you, especially when it comes to getting access to your children, or changing, making things work a little bit better than they have been, they are fantastically supportive. So, little bit of learning. We're going to keep it short. So from the Divorce Masterclass, we're going to look at, this is part of the Set the Compass section, where we are talking about where are you going? What's your direction? And everything that's part of that. And I just wanted to say something about purpose, because you can have the best map in the world of how you're going to do your divorce, how it's all going to work, but it's no good if you're not really clear on your purpose. It's not just about where you're going, it's why. So for example, it's important to you that your children see you both dealing with what could be a very difficult situation in an intelligent and compassionate way. If that's the lesson they learn from you as parents going as you go through this divorce or family separation, that if that becomes something that's important to you as your purpose, that will drive everything you do, and it will automatically make it much more likely that you will find better solutions to the difficulties that you may have on the way. If your purpose is to, we had Rosalind Sadaka recently, who's a parenting coach from the US, and her son told her when he was an adult, he thanked her for the way how well she and his dad had managed the divorce. And so, you know, is it part of your purpose that your children one day, when they're older, go, you know, well done, thanks, you know, you did that really well. You can see now it must have been very difficult, but thank you for that. If that's very much your purpose, that's where your resolve will come. That's where instead of thinking to hell with it, we're going to go to court and battle it out, you'll go, well, no, okay, let's give one more mediation, but maybe I'll do a bit more homework this time and get prepared. That's where your purpose is absolutely key to how well you manage this. So now we're going to move forwards. That's the learning done. I just wanted to briefly, I'd mentioned the app earlier. I'm very excited about this new app. It's filling up nicely. We're tweaking it. It's going to look much more beautiful than it is at the moment quite soon. We're improving it all the time. The main thing to watch out for is top left there, Welcome Pack. So when you register, it's a free app. The Welcome Pack's free. There you can get a link to Families Need Fathers and some other great co-parenting resources as well. So ready now for our shared story with Ruth Driscoll. And Ruth, welcome.
Thank you very much, Susie.
So you're going to be talking about not a controlling, coercive spouse. Well, you are perhaps, but it's going to be to do with teenagers. So tell me a bit more. It's a shared story because this is something from your own experience and some people that you're working with at the moment, isn't it?
That's correct, yes. Yes, and it seems to be the week for talking about children, you know, that you've had Michael on, and obviously the distress for the people that access Michael's charity is where one spouse, one parent is perhaps being prevented from seeing the children by the other. And I was also this week interviewed on a podcast by a lovely lady called Kai Graham, called Teenage Toolbox. So that's going to be coming out next Tuesday. So you can look out for that, where I'm giving some thoughts about how to deal with difficult teenagers. And you may say, well, all teenagers are difficult. But of course, when a teenager is in a troubled environment, and that can often happen when you're going through divorce, and particularly where one parent is particularly dogmatic and controlling. And that's the case that I'm going to talk about this evening. And as it happens on this particular occasion, the parent who is being prevented from seeing her son was the mother. She and the father had parted. He was domineering, controlling, manipulative, very difficult person to live with. And so she had moved out from the family home. She had rented another house close by, and the children were with her. But the son, in the way that teenagers do, decided he didn't like the bedroom there. It was too small. So he moved back in with his father right at the beginning of our first lockdown here in the UK, which was during March last year. And during the whole of that time, she was refused access to the son. She had a daughter, slightly younger, who was going back and forth between the two houses. But the message that was coming through was that he hated his mother. He didn't want to have anything more to do with her. And the father was claiming that the boy was upset by any little gifts that she brought round, any contact that she tried to make, that what she was doing was upsetting him. Now, you can imagine, you're a mother, you're desperate to see your child. It's heartbreaking. And she was losing sleep. She did not know what to do. And of course, the issue that you've got there is that your emotions are all over the place. And so then you're highly likely to be acting in a way that makes you seem a little bit, you know, desperate or, you know, so the difficulty that you have here is, how do you conduct yourself? How do you break this impasse? And that was the situation that this lady was in when I started working with her. So the things that we talked about were, first of all, that just because somebody is delivering you a message that the boy doesn't want to see you, or the child is upset and hates you and all of these things, there's two things behind that. Firstly, it may not be true. Secondly, in this particular scenario, we have to realize that this child is living with a controlling, coercive, domineering man. And in that situation, what will often happen is they will do what they have to do in order to just be able to get through the day and stop being yelled at. So I said to her, what you need to adapt here is a situation of patience, and look at this as a long-term strategy. Also, you have got to continue being you. So you send your little messages to him. You drop round little gifts to him. And then at Christmas time, we had a complete breakthrough. She sent a letter to tell him what his, you know, that she had his Christmas presents, hoping that he might come and collect them. But that was pushed back in her face. But then she just shortly after Christmas, she said something absolutely incredible has happened. He came round. Well, when he came round, he was angry and he shoved her to the side and he was not very pleasant. And then he grabbed his present and he went out. And she was so upset. And I said, look, hold on just a minute. You know, he's actually made an inroad here. But what we've got to remember is he has no idea how to process the turmoil that he is going through right now. And the other key thing with teenagers, even if they're, you know, they're not in a stressful situation like this, anger is masking a whole raft of potentially other reasons. Embarrassment, you know, social unease, there's all sorts of things that may be underpinning it. And so I said to her, just be patient and don't push anything here. You've got to be completely non-judgmental. You have to not put any expectations or pressure onto him here. Let just be there, let him know you're there, that you love him, be the solid harbor wall that he can crash the waves of his tumultuous emotions against. Just be that solid person, be yourself. And as Michael was saying earlier on there, you've got to be the behavior that you expect from them. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that you're setting the standard still. And then just a day or so later, he came with a suitcase and he moved back in. And then at the weekend, he was supposed to, you know, because they had the court order with the court arrangements, which father was completely breaching. He was due to spend that time with his father. And she overheard him on the phone saying, no, Pappy, I'm not coming over. No, Pappy, I don't want to. No, I've made my decision, Pappy. And do you think he was able to stand up to that father?
And do you think her courage, sorry to interrupt you, do you think her courage, and because it takes enormous courage to do that and to hold that space, I mean, yes. I don't know, you know, that's why she needed you, because I couldn't do that on my own. And to hold that space and to just stay calm and not to go on the attack, so that it then became a safe space for him to go, which he probably wanted to go to all along, which doesn't, not to say necessarily doesn't ever want to be with his dad, but he's got, you know, who are you going to choose to be with? The person who's just unconditional or the person who's putting a huge amount of pressure on you?
The way I described it was, it's like you're laying the trail of breadcrumbs through the forest. And when he's ready, he can follow that trail. Just know it's there, that you've made that space and you're holding that space. And then you've got to be patient. And it is about thinking that this is the strategy that you're using, rather than getting caught up in the emotion, the upset, the turmoil. I haven't seen my son for months and months, you know, and hearing all these messages. He hates you. He never wants to see you again. You know, terribly distressing. But there is a way through.
It's that hope and that possibility. And I hope, I know that Michael was saying with the many of the fathers, in particular families needing fathers, yeah, they're in these horrible, horrible, difficult situations. But not making it worse for yourself is quite hard. So it's brilliant to know that it can be done. And in a funny way, what you're describing with the breadcrumbs, a lot of the strategy work I'm doing with people, I'm in a way we're talking about there, even if they're not coercive controlling, it's keeping that space, what I call peaceful space, safe for the other person who's confused and angry and often becomes like a teenager during a divorce process, and letting them jump up and down a bit, but then keep going, look, if we do it this way, we'll save 50 grand and it'll be a lot nicer. So, you know, and just keeping the door open. But it takes so much courage and almost confidence to do that, which is why It's, you know, and so that just brings me neatly to round off by saying thank you so much again for being on the Secret Divorce Group, in the Secret Divorce Group, and also on the financial workshop last night, because again, that was a real opportunity for people to have a sense of who can help them and how to create a kind of virtual team around themselves, because you do need people to rely on with these things. That's a brilliant story. Thank you so much, Ruth, and I look forward to having you back soon with another one.
Like to book a complimentary session to have a chat and get clarity around things, you know, the QR code is there.
Absolutely. The QR code is not there for decoration. It is actually a very generous gift from Ruth to let you have a talk with her, because no one should be in a situation where they're having to deal with a coercive, controlling person and not have any idea how to deal with it. So thank you. Thank you for that, Ruth. So now we are. Here we are, ready to move on. I just wanted to say thank you to John, who's left a couple of messages. I always get very excited when people leave comments. John's said a couple of things. He said he's not very keen on marriage because he says that he reckons the divorce laws always cater for women. That's not always the case, John. I guess it depends where you're divorcing, under what jurisdiction. It's certainly has been a lot fairer in the UK. Some would say that's shifting now, that it's becoming harder for women. They have to get back out to work, and if they've got a child at university, tough, they'll have to sleep on the sofa. You don't get an extra room. A lot of things are changing, so it seems to bounce backwards and forwards along with people's attitudes. But to be frank, John, it's just really hard for everybody, and it's up to you to not give away your power to the system, which isn't a great one, whether you're in the States or in the UK. You need to take control of it yourself. And the other one is, remember, it's always the lawyers who will make money out of a divorce, you said. Well, in a way, absolutely. if you give it to them, it's up to you. So the workshop that we ran last night was actually sponsored by a law firm who were happy for us to tell everyone ways to not give lots and lots of money to lawyers, because they don't want to go to court either. It's stressful for them. They are the type of lawyers who support dispute resolution. So that's the key. It's knowing which lawyers to use and how to do it in a way, because you're absolutely right. If you just bowl into it without any knowledge, you can easily end up giving away all your money to the lawyers and some of it unnecessarily. But thank you very much for leaving those comments. These are a couple of, just got these over the last, well, today and last night from the workshop. Some wonderful testimonials from the workshop, and they are, all those resources are in the app, and they're there to help people not end up spending all their money in places and ways that they shouldn't have to, so they can make better decisions. So we're going to now move to our healing. We've got Susan Camilla, who's going to, she's the tapping queen. She can do all, she's a health expert, a health coach. But today and from tonight, she's going to help us do just relax, really. So, and welcome to you, Susan.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening.
Excellent. So what delight are you going to give us today?
I'm going to be doing a meditation, a lovely white light healing meditation. An opportunity to relax, chill out, Friday night.
Perfect. Then we can all go and have a glass of wine. Unless you're in the States, in which case it's a bit early, you have to wait a bit later. So I'm going to...
Moving forward. January dry. I've done it for the first time this year.
Whoa, you're the only one. Apparently no one's doing dry January. The gin sales have shot up. So you're the only one. Anyway, it's nearly February. I'm going to move on now and be quiet and just really enjoy this relaxation. Thank you so much, Susan.
Great to be back here again tonight as I share a white light healing meditation. So please take your moments now to get comfortable. If possible, I do suggest you close your eyes and become aware of your breathing, observing your breath, and becoming aware of your body from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. And also be aware of any other sensations that are going on while you're enjoying this. Begin to gently feel your body relaxing. Face muscles relaxing. The muscles around your eyes and your scalp, feel them relaxing. Sense a comforting calm flowing through your whole body. And I'd like you to imagine, please, that you are in a beautiful, tranquil garden. See yourself there now. A beautiful garden. You choose which season it is. A garden filled with trees, plants, and flowers. Take time to explore the tranquil space and use all your senses to bring a stronger picture. Trees, plants, flowers, excuse me. See the beautiful colours. Hear different sounds. Perhaps birds chirping, perhaps leaves rustling. A special garden, a sanctuary for you from your busy life. Feel yourself being filled with a deep sense of peace in your mind and body as you relax in this beautiful garden. And now begin to visualize a beautiful ball of white light above your forehead. Feel this white light vibrating above you. And now begin to imagine this light growing in size until it completely surrounds you. You are cocooned within this beautiful, warm, healing light. Take in the sense of this powerful white light, filling your aura with its healing rays. Now feel this white light sinking into your body, filling every part of you. It's spreading down past your forehead, behind your eyes, relaxing you even more. You can see, feel, imagine the light spreading, now flowing down your neck, completely relaxing the muscles in your neck and throat. And you begin to relax even more. Feel the light spreading to your shoulders and down both arms, all the way to the tips of your fingers. Imagine the light flowing down your back, your chest, and into your heart space. See your heart pumping the light into every vessel in your body. And now the light flows through your spinal cord, from your brain down to the tip of your spine, flowing through your nervous system, to reach every single muscle and cell in your body. You feel deeply peaceful and totally relaxed, more than you might have thought possible. The light now flows into soft tissue organs, down to your hips and thighs, your knees, the first part of your body that you move forward with, then down into your calves and feet. You are completely filled with this wondrous, bright, white light. Now imagine this light filling your heart space with its healing power. Your heart gently opens to this warm, healing light. Feel it expand and grow. You are filled with love for yourself, and you're opening your heart to the universal power, opening yourself to the healing power of the universe. Feel that universal energy flow through you as you open up the channels to love and to this healing energy. Bring your attention to any part of you that needs extra healing today. Any part of your mind, body, soul. Send this healing to any part of your body, mind, soul, which needs some extra help. Surround that point with healing white light and feel the intense light healing. Feel that healing. Any illness, sadness, grief. Allow yourself to surrender to the process of healing. Every cell of your body filled with healing energy, permitting you to feel happy, offering you vibrant, good health. Your body returning to health and well-being. And now, very gently, allow the white light to leave your body and shrink to a small ball above your head, and watch it slowly disappear. But know that its healing power is yours to call upon at any time. This healing power is truly yours. Feel relaxed and ready to face the world. Take in a couple of extra lovely, long, slow, deep breaths. And during this time, gently move your body. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And remember that you can use this power. You can find this power. Imagine it coming in. So that's me, finished, Susie. And I hope everyone's feeling energized. And perhaps I can mention that I have a free Zoom workshop on gratitude and empowerment, because we're looking for energetic healing and we're looking for empowerment. The link will be in the things tomorrow, in the parts tomorrow, the different areas. So thank you. And remember, you can use this white light energy at any time you want to grasp hold of it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Susan. Yes, so watch out in the comments, Susan, on the different platforms. She will dive in and put links to the wonderful things that she offers. As I said, she's a full-on health coach, EFT. She does lots of stuff, and it's all about de-stressing and getting back control of your life, which I always recommend people do before they launch into their mediation or legal or whatever aspects. When it comes to the practical stuff, you need to get your head and your heart in the right place first, and all the way through, because it's going to have a massive impact on how well you manage it. It's an investment. It's also lovely. So thank you, Susan. So to end for this week, in the war of divorce, on the battlefield of family separation, always, always make peace your weapon of choice.